From the KBIA newsroom in Columbia, this is Intersection, Conversations in Our Community. I'm Betsy Smith, one of the producers on our show. Today we're talking about the Unbound Book Festival. We spoke with Alex George, the founder and director of the festival. We also spoke with local authors about their creative inspiration and how community influences their work. While we were working on this episode, some community members voiced concerns about diversity and inclusion at the Unbound Book Festival. Ibtissam Barakat, a Palestinian-American author, posted a statement to Facebook about a week ago saying she was not allowed to speak about the conflict in Palestine at her Unbound panel last year. She talked to producer Abby Ivory Ganya about her experience.
I felt shocked that I was censored, and I learned about that toward the end of the panel when an audience member asked the moderator why he was nervous. I knew there was something wrong on the panel because it felt constricted the whole time, and I was trying to go to my topic. The focus of the topic was on immigration and the art of writing, and my writing, my books, my published books are not about that. But I thought, okay, I can begin by speaking about immigration and then take it to why I am an immigrant, which is because of my country being occupied and all of the racism that the Palestinians face. So I thought, you know, I can find an entrance to speak about my topic. But it turned out that there was a private conversation with the aim of censoring me when I'm on the panel, so I wouldn't find a gateway to speaking about my topic. That was truly shocking and disappointing and hurtful.
Alex George came out with like a public statement, public apology. Do you feel like in that statement he adequately like addressed your concerns and your experience at the festival?
Yeah, that apology was worked out together. We worked on it together, and I indicated exactly what I wanted to hear. I demanded that. I demanded the narration of the basic facts that happened, and not just a simple apology, because he published a very shallow apology before that on the Unbound page, the Facebook page, and that wasn't satisfactory. And I demanded a satisfactory apology, and I established what points I wanted to hear, and he honored that. I think that was a positive thing indeed.
Do you think there will be a more conscious effort on behalf of the festival to be more inclusive?
The festival has many problems as of now. I like what happened last year with me happened by accident. I didn't learn about that racism happening in private conversations. I didn't know. It happened by chance when the moderator responded that way by revealing what happened and the directive that he got. But then I did not break my silence this year until I read something by a professor, a Stevens professor, who was amplifying the concerns of Stevens College students about a panel at Unbound. The title of it, I guess, is The Power of Protest. It has only white members of that panel. And Stevens students were protesting that. And when I saw that, I felt safe enough to break my silence. So it was really the courage of the students and the courage of the Stevens professor. And that gave me the basic minimum safety to break my silence. And I was invited to be on that panel, and I declined. I wrote a statement that I do not want to be the only person of color on this panel. I do not want to associate with Unbound Book Festival until certain changes are done, including diversifying the board of directors, including diversifying all the panels and the invitees, also having a strategy to address racial problems that will arise at the festival. Inevitably, this is Missouri, and this is 2018, where like racial issues are top of the issues we're dealing with in America and in the world. And to deny that these happen and they are part of the fabric of the publishing industry or the festivals, practices, or our conversations, to deny that really is to miss the opportunity to address it in an intelligent and a healing and a constructive way. I think that the Unbound needs to have a strategy about addressing this. I do not know that Alex will do these changes and how he will do them, but he did say that it's up to them to earn the right to invite me again, because I have demanded this in order for the festival to be more inviting and more friendly to any person of color.
That was Ibtissam Barakat on her experiences at Unbound last year. We talked to Alex George last week before we knew about the conversations on a lack of diversity and inclusion at Unbound. Host Sarah Shariari talked to Alex George again about those concerns and how he plans to move forward.
So I just wanted to circle back about a conversation taking place between you and the moderator before the author Ibtissam Barakat's talk last year, and what role, you know, race and culture may have had in that conversation, because she ended up feeling as if she had been censored, essentially.
She did, and we understand that. The discussion that I had with the moderator was simply in order to ensure that there was that the conversation went smoothly, and that we kept the focus more or less on the published topic of the talk, which was about the craft of writing about immigration. And that was why we had the conversation. But now I understand that what I did when making that direction was to exhibit privilege on my part, and to show real cultural insensitivity towards Ibtissam. And I've apologized to her for that.
We actually talked with Ibtissam earlier today, and she was talking about feeling very strongly that there needs to be more diversity on the Unbound board and the panels and in publishing overall. And people have been particularly pointing to a panel on protest that only had white people on it. Are there things that need to change in terms of who's being invited and how those panels are sort of being conceived?
No question. We have a lot of work to do. Ibtissam is exactly right. And the criticisms that have been leveled at the festival and at me about that panel are 100% correct. I got that badly wrong, and I have apologized for that too. It was a case of myopia and also an insufficient review process, so there was nobody sort of standing behind me to catch it. When we talk about moving forward, one of the things that we're going to do is to undertake a systemic overhaul of how all of this gets looked at, precisely in order to make sure that doesn't happen in the future, but also, more importantly, just to make sure that the festival represents and reflects the full diversity of voices that are out there. We're not quite sure yet, because this is a young conversation, and we're obviously right now just trying to put the festival on, but we are ready when the festival is over to roll up our sleeves and really get to work on that. I have already begun some of those conversations. And one of the suggestions that has already been made, which I think is an excellent one, would be to put together some kind of student council, which would probably be students from Stevens and from the University of Missouri and Columbia College, and also, I would hope, some high schools, and have them independently come up with ideas for programming and conversations and things that need to be talked about. My goal here is to have as many people at the table as possible. And I'm open to all sorts of ideas and suggestions as to how that can be done.
You know, when something like this happens, I think we often have sort of moments of reckoning with ourselves, because suddenly we maybe see that we weren't seeing something, or we understand that we weren't seeing something. Have your ideas changed or your awarenesses changed about how to put together panels for the festival?
I have learned an awful lot over the last 10 days or so. And, you know, there's still a lot to process, and there's still, it goes without saying, an awful, awful lot to learn. But I have been helped enormously by various people in the community who are offering suggestions as resources and books to read and people to talk to and programs to sign up for. There is a lot of help out there. And I'm determined to make the most of everything that's available.
This is Intersection. I'm Betsy Smith, one of the producers on our show. Today, we're bringing you an episode on the Unbound Book Festival, which starts on Thursday. In the first part of our show, we talked about community members' criticism at a lack of diversity and inclusion at the festival. Visit our website, kbia.org, to hear those conversations again. Unbound brings authors from all over to our community, so we wanted to know more about what books people in our community love. I talked to people coming in and out of the Daniel Boone Regional Library and asked them surprisingly difficult questions. What is their favorite book, and what does reading mean to them?
My name is Christina Brayman. I am the web editor of the Missouri Review, which is a literary journal founded here at the University of Missouri, and it's been going strong for about 40 years. I'm a big supporter of new literature, as the magazine is, and I've been a reader of fiction since I could read, probably about the age of 5. My favorite book is Middlemarch by George Eliot. It's my favorite because it's a big, sympathetic, mature book about what it means to be human.
My name is Lynn Ogden, and I don't have a favorite book because I've read so many wonderful ones, but my last favorite book I just read is called The End of Life Book Club. A wise person told me many decades ago that she knew she would never be poor as long as she had a library card, and I thought that was such sage advice, so it stuck with me.
My name is Paul Perry. Okay, I don't really particularly have a favorite book. I do have a favorite author. His name is Thomas Hardy. I lean towards the classics. My wife reads about 100 books a year. I probably do 20 or 25.
My name is Nancy Tharp. One I finished recently was Shantaram by Gregory David Roberts. It was exciting. It's a novel, but it read like true life.
My name is Helen Katz. I can't really think of one favorite book because there's just so many. And reading to me is just the best pastime in the world. It makes you think. It brings you into other people's voices and heads. There's just nothing I like doing better.
Nina Furstenaw is an author, journalist, and teacher. She writes about the intersection of food and culture. Where did you find the inspiration to write about food and your culinary memoir of the Mid-Missouri area?
You know, I came to food sort of indirectly because I really like to write about cultures. And it seems to me food is just a wonderful lens to see all kinds of things, and maybe especially culture. What I really like to write about is the boundaries of culture and where they meet and how we maybe cross those boundaries. I guess it intrigues me how food makes that a lot smoother for most people because we're so ingrained in almost anything we do with our family life or our broader cultural life almost always intersects over food of some kind.
And so can you talk with me a little bit about your latest work and the process that went into writing that?
I wrote And Then There Was Rum Cake. It's an essay in Pie and Whiskey in the past year. And it came about kind of as an offshoot from two things. A memoir I wrote a few years ago, Biting Through the Skin, An Indian Kitchen in America's Heartland, was kind of it centered on the story of how I learned about my home culture through the food ways of my mother in a small town in Kansas, where there was not very many other cultural clues outside of our front door. In the Pie and Whiskey essay, I'm talking more about how all of us transitioned into other families when we marry, or maybe just when we have strong relationships of any kind. And that transition, when you're coming from an Indian culture into a Midwest farming family, is kind of dynamic and interesting and has lots of energy in it and beauty. But I think it's true of anybody. It doesn't have to have those particular circumstances. You're always adjusting yourself to another family dynamic.
Can you tell me a little bit about your involvement with Unbound? Is this your first time with the festival, or?
This would be the third year for the festival and my second time to be actually featured in the festival. I'll be on the Bon Appetit panel. I think it's at noon or right around midday on the Saturday of the festival. Because I was involved in Pie and Whiskey, Pie and Whiskey editors Sam Lagan and Kate Lebo started the Pie and Whiskey, I'm going to call it a phenomenon, on the West Coast. They combine this sort of excitement of a Saturday night and possibly the connotations around whiskey and the comfort and the warmth and the hospitality of maybe a Sunday after church with pie. That combination somehow has really drawn in a lot of fans. And so when they have these readings on the West Coast, several hundred people come. And if you've ever been to a literary reading, which I've given a number and I love them, but they're usually, you know, 30 people. People are interested and polite and they clap and it's lovely. But the energy of Pie and Whiskey is completely different. It's evening, it's adult, and it's much more performative. And so it becomes kind of a fun night out, which is a different feel for most literary readings.
That was Nina Furstenaw, author of Biting Through the Skin, An Indian Kitchen in America's Heartland. This is Intersection on KBIA. I'm Betsy Smith, one of the show's producers. Today, we're talking about the Unbound Book Festival, happening right here in Columbia. Yulia Shakiz is the author of Siberian Exile and teaches creative nonfiction writing. We spoke about how she finds inspiration for her books and using archival research and writing.
Where did you get the inspiration to write about the topics that you write about?
I've written three books. So Siberian Exile was my most recent book, and it was published in 2017. It was published last fall. And that book tells the story of my paternal grandparents. So my grandmother was deported to Siberia in 1941 for 17 years from Lithuania, where my family's from. In general, I'm interested in writing small, singular, marginal lives. So I like to write, I'm interested in telling stories that have never been told before. I'm interested in telling the stories of people whose lives are vulnerable to oblivion, so lives that might be forgotten or ignored or overlooked. If I don't do the work, I write women's lives, I write lives based on archival materials. So I'm very interested in the kinds of traces that people leave behind after they die.
What is your method of research when you're writing books like this?
So it depends on what I'm working on, but in all three cases of my books, my first book was about an Algerian author who was murdered in 1993, and that book is called Silence is Death. My second book was about a Lithuanian librarian who was a Holocaust rescuer, and that book was called Epistolophilia, and the word means a love of letter writing. And the third book is Siberian Exile, and is about both my paternal grandparents, Ona and Anthony, as I call them in the book. So I start with the life. I start with this person and figure who is sort of mysterious and intriguing to me. And then I start to gather materials about that person. I traveled to Siberia with my cousin. We took a train across Russia to get a sense of the land that she crossed and the distances that she traveled. I talked to people in the village where she had lived, and people remembered her. We found photographs of her in Siberia. We visited the place where she had lived with her sister, who had also been deported to Siberia later than her. They had lived in a log cabin. And so the log cabin is no longer there, but my cousin and I went to see the place where the log cabin had stood and where my grandmother had grown vegetables and had kept pigs and cows and chickens and had survived for 17 years.
Were you able to find more of your identity through this?
I would say in certain ways, it really changed my relationship to the past. I certainly came to understand my grandparents very differently. I think It helped me understand in a much more like non-mythical way this experience of deportation that my grandmother had undergone. I write in the book that Siberia, for me growing up as a child, it didn't seem like a real place, right? It was this place that signified the great trauma of our family. So for me, seeing that place and experiencing that landscape and understanding the distances, but also hearing those villagers speak about her and who she had been and how they remembered her, was really powerful. So yeah, I think I understood her better.
That was Yulia Shakiz, the author of Siberian Exile. Host Sarah Shariari spoke with Alex George, founder and director of the Unbound Book Festival, last week. This interview happened before we knew about the conversations on a lack of diversity and inclusion at Unbound, and before Alex George publicly apologized. Alex talked about how the festival began and where it may go in the future.
The idea began several years ago when I was actually on tour for one of my novels, and I was invited to attend various book festivals across the country. And I thought to myself at the time, well, this would be a wonderful thing for Colombia. You know, we're a town that loves its festivals and we're a very literary town. And so it made sense that it would be a good addition. So that was really where the idea began. And it took a long time to get from there to here. But here we are, and we're thrilled and excited.
Was 2016 the first year of the festival?
Yes, it was. Yes. So this is our third year now.
And it seems to have grown to success so quickly. I mean, you had Salman Rushdie last year and another great headline author this year. Can you tell me about how you got in touch with this year's headline author?
Of course. Well, Zadie Smith is a wonderful, wonderful writer and critic and thinker. And the one thing that I knew when we were discussing who was going to be the headliner this year was that had to be a woman. That was critical. And always on the Friday night, we have pretty high standards when it comes to literary pedigree. I mean, having had Michael Ondaatje and Salman Rushdie, you know, some of the questions that I was asked were, where on earth do you go from there?
Exactly.
And Zadie Smith felt like a very good a good move. She is one of the most important voices of her generation, and it's going to be an extraordinary evening on Friday.
And on Friday, that is free and open to the public, right?
It is. I mean, tickets were made available online and they were all reserved. We are saying to people that if they don't have a ticket, they should show up anyway because it's a free event. Very often people don't show up. And so if there are any empty seats at 7:15, we'll let people in the line in. So just to make sure that we have a full house.
Wonderful. And throughout the weekend, there are so many events. I mean, you have Zadie Smith on Friday night, but then there are things for local authors and all these conversations where people can engage with the authors. Can you tell me a little bit about those?
Sure. I mean, there are a huge number of things. We have a reading on Thursday night at Orr Street Studios called Pie and Whiskey, which is 12 authors who have all written something specifically for the occasion, either about pie or whiskey, or possibly both. There's a poetry reading on Friday at Fretboard Coffee at 4:30 with six wonderful poets. And then on Saturday is the main day, and that takes place on the campus of Stevens College. And we use six different venues there, and we have events going on simultaneously in all of those venues. And there are a variety of panels, poetry readings, and author conversations. We very much believe that the best way to hold a book festival is for it to be as interactive as possible. And so we, rather than just having somebody stand up and read from their novel, we have them talk about it. It's kind of like the behind the scenes. So people get insights and opinions that they wouldn't get just by opening the pages of the book. So we're trying to offer something extra.
Are there any authors that you're particularly excited to hear from, or books that you think people in the community should definitely go out and read before it starts?
I mean, there are so many of them. That's rather like asking me which of my children I prefer. I mean, they're all wonderful, and they're all very different. I think we have a wide variety of authors and a wide variety of topics that are going to be discussed. I mean, there are a couple, I suppose, if you're going to ask me to choose favorites.
Tell me about your favorite child.
So we have Gabby Rivera coming into town, who is a wonderful YA novelist. And she also is the creator of the first ever Latina superhero for Marvel Comics.
How wonderful.
And she's going to be coming in and talking about all of that. And I actually spoke to her on the telephone yesterday. And I'm very, very much looking forward to hearing her talk. There are wonderful panels about feminism and the First Amendment and food writing, historical fiction. I mean, it goes on and on. It's all on the website, of course. And people probably need to have a look beforehand so they can make a decision about where to go. One of the comments that we get every year is that there's too much choice, which is kind of, you know, I guess that's a nice problem to have.
I was looking at the schedule and thinking, I don't know, there's like three different things I would want to be at the same exact time. So you are an author with several published works.
Yes.
You're a lawyer with an estate planning practice, and you plan a massive festival every year. How do you manage your time?
Very carefully.
Yeah, I imagine. Oh, and you're a parent.
Yeah, yes, that too. I mean, it's hard. It's really hard. you know, I wish somebody could like add a few more hours into every day. But it's all to do with just being efficient where you can. And I have some very understanding clients. This time of year, my law firm closes down for a couple of months, and this is pretty much all I do. And I'm lucky because I sort of work on my own that I have the flexibility to do that.
Now, for Unbound Book Festival, all the events are free.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that? Because it takes money to reserve spaces, bring people in from out of state. I mean, those are expensive propositions.
Yes, I mean, it does cost a fair amount of money. And we get our money from essentially three different sources.
Mm-hmm.
We have sponsors, of course, and we have grant income as well. And the third one is donations from the public. And I always knew that this festival would be a popular one, but I have been completely overwhelmed by the enthusiasm with which it's been greeted in the community. And people have been so incredibly generous in donating to us. And that's really the key to it all. I mean, this is a festival which is in the community and it's for the community, but it's by the community as well. And we are supported by them and we're very grateful for it.
And I've heard that you're going to be opening a bookstore soon as well.
I am, yeah, because mm-hmm. I didn't have quite enough to do.
You're like, I feel like I would need a fourth full-time job right now. And it's going to be on 9th Street, is
yes,
that right?
It is, yeah.
How are you thinking of, you know, we have the University Bookstore, which, you know, has a ton of different books in it, and then Yellow Dog mm-hmm. there. Are they mostly sell used books,
they
I
do.
Think. So how would you add to that sort of availability?
So we won't be selling used books. We are going to be selling exclusively new books. And as such, we're going to be a very good complementary partner to Yellow Dog.
So this isn't a mega massive bookstore that you're proposing. How are you going to select what you bring into it?
Well, that's the fun bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's also the bit that we haven't started yet. But the inventory is everything. You know, we can't be a mega store or Amazon. We can't have every title. But that's always the benefit and the joys of going into an independent bookstore is that you know that the inventory has been very carefully curated. So the hope is that pretty much everything that you see is going to be something that has been carefully selected. But we haven't quite got that far yet. But that's the bit I'm really looking forward to.
Yes, it's sort of like pulling your favorite books for your community.
Absolutely.
Thank you for joining us here on Intersection, Conversations in Our Community. And of course, thank you to Ibtissam Barakat, Alex George, Nina Firstenaw, and Yulia Shakiz. If you'd like to listen to this show again, visit us online at kbia.org. You can also like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter, where we are at IntersectKBIA. Our producers are Sarah Shariari, Abby Ivory Ganya, Elena Rivera, and Ahmed Jawadi. Our music is Montana Skies. I'm Betsy Smith for Intersection on KBIA 91.3 FM.